Raja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nanda Raja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sankirtanaki Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Nitai Go Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashtaprayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 2, Chapter entitled The Symptoms of Kali Yuga, Text 43. Tejop Annamayam Kayam Grihitvatmataya Buddhaha Mahim Mamataya Chobho Hitvante adarshanam gata Tejo ap annamayam kayam गृहीत्वात्मतया बुधाः महिं ममतया चोभो हित्वान्ते दर्शनं गताः तेजो अप अन्नमयं कार्यम् गृहीत्वात्मतया बुधा महिं ममतया चोभो हित्वान्ते दर्शनं गताः तेजो अप अन्नमयं कायं गृहीत्वात्मतया बुधाः महिं ममतया चोभो हित्वान्ते दर्शनं गताः तेजोपन्नमयं कायं गृहीत्वात्मतया बुधाः महिं ममतया चोभो हित्वान्ते दर्शनं गताः. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: although the foolish accept the body made of earth, water and fire as me and this earth as mine, in every case they have ultimately abandoned both their body and the earth and passed away into oblivion. Purport: although the soul is eternal, our so-called family tradition and earthly fame will certainly pass into oblivion. Om Ajnanadimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Dham Sajivam Sadvaitam Zavadudam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छागल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारिणं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं परमानन्दमाधवं हरे कृष्ण. तेजो अप अन्नमयं कायं गृहीत्वात्मतया बुधा महिम ममतया चोभो हित्वान्ते अदर्शनं गताः. Although the foolish accept the body made of earth, water and fire as me and this earth as mine, in every case they have ultimately abandoned both their body and the earth and passed away into oblivion. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the devotees. So I can speak something for my purification, and whatever I am speaking will one day sink into my heart. It's easy to just speak sitting here on the dais. So this chapter is entitled The Symptoms of Kali Yuga, and so many devotees have wonderfully spoken. They have shared their realization about what is being mentioned here about Kali Yuga. So this chapter number 2, begins with a very interesting verse which is very famously quoted and also famously well known. Tatrascha anudinam dharmyam satyam shaucham kshamadaya kalena balina rajan nakshyanti ayuh balasmriti. So this first verse begins with Shukdev Goswami addressing Parikshit Maharaj, and he's addressing Parikshit Maharaj as Rajan. Rajan means the king. And the last verse, we are on the 43rd verse, and the 44th verse is the last verse of this chapter. And this chapter ends with the 44th verse where Parikshit Maharaj is again addressed by Shukdev Goswami as Rajan. He's saying, Ye ye bhupatayo Rajan. So this is the 44th or the last verse of this chapter. So in the beginning, the first verse begins with Rajan, where Parikshit Maharaj is being addressed as Rajan or the king. And the last verse, Shukdev Goswami again addresses Parikshit Maharaj as Rajan. And now we see here these verses, especially these last 6 to 7 verses that we have been discussing. These verses, Shukdev Goswami is speaking about all those great kings who ruled this planet Earth. And now all these kings have actually disappeared into oblivion. So Shukdev Goswami is trying to help Parikshit Maharaj by telling that you also are a king, O Rajan. But please remember all those kings who lived for so many years, who ruled this earth planet for so many years. Ultimately, what is their destination? They are also bound to, or they are also destined to die sooner or later, today or tomorrow, eventually. So Shukdev Goswami is beautifully preparing Parikshit Maharaj for his final destination, for his future journey, where he is telling here the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And right at the beginning, Shukdev Goswami says, Kalena Balina Rajan. That is the first verse. Tatrascha anudinam dharmyam satyam shaucham kshamadaya kalena balina rajan. He says, by the influence of time factor, everything deteriorates. And again, that is the first verse. And again in the 44th verse, he uses the word kalena te krita sarve katham matra katha sucha. So that is the last verse. And here also he is using the words kalena te krita sarve. By everything is reduced by the force of time to nothing more than the historical accounts. So there is a synchrony, there is so much harmony in what Shukdev Goswami is speaking right at the first verse of this chapter, and now what he is going to speak in the last verse, that is the verse number 44, that is upcoming tomorrow, where he is speaking about the influence of the time factor. So many devotees have spoken actually about the effect of time. I would like to continue with the same theme of how time actually has its all insurmountable effect on this planet Earth. When I was small, I used to hear this song, no, which became very famous actually. It is sung in a Qawwali form, no? And this song became very famous. And yes, Radha Dudi Prabhu, he got it right. And this song makes so much sense, no, to what our philosophy is actually, no, teaching us. Of course, we are not here for a Bhagavatam is not an entertainment show. It is not, we are not here for some mehfil, but ultimately, no, as Chanakya Pandit says, no, even a gold if found in a filthy place, no, must be accepted. So the principles are universal in whichever, no, no faith or belief, no, whichever faith you are in practicing. So the principles are universal, and the people of all different faith, beliefs and religion, they actually resonate the same principles. The principles remain the same everywhere. So this song, no, although it's sung in a very different way, no, the wordings, the lyrics makes a lot of sense. And this song was one of my favorites when I was in my school days, and I used to hear this song. So this, I actually learned by heart this song when I was so small. So I just thought I'll just share this song. It's a very long, beautiful, lyrics. But some of those few lyrics I would like to share. So this song says that, Charta suraj dhire dhire dalta hai dal jayega. ढल जाएगा ढल जाएगा तू यहाँ मुसाफिर है ये समाए फानी है चार रोज की मेहमा तेरी जिंदगानी है जर जमी जर जेवर कुछ न साथ जाएगा खाली हाथ आया है खाली हाथ जाएगा जान कर भी अनजाना बन रहा है दीवाने अपनी उम्र पानी पे तन रहा है दीवाने किस कदर तू खोया है इस जहां के मेले में तू खुदा को भूला है फंस के इस जमेले में आज तक ये देखा है पाने वाला कोता है जिंदगी को जो समझा जिंदगी पे रोता है मिटने वाली दुनिया का ऐतबार करता है क्या समझ के तू आखिर इससे प्यार करता है आज समझ ले कल ये मौका हाथ न तेरे आएगा ओ गफलत की नींद में सोने वाले धोखा खाएगा चढ़ता सूरज धीरे धीरे ढलता है ढल जाएगा चढ़ता सूरज धीरे धीरे ढलता है ढल जाएगा. So this beautiful, actually song made a lot of impact in my life personally. It made so much sense. And then the next stanza is what this today's verse is speaking about actually. So then this verse says that मौत ने ज़माने को ये समाधि खा डाला कैसे कैसे रुस्तम को खाक में मिला डाला याद रख सिकंदर के हौसले तो आली थे जब गया था दुनिया से दोनों हाथ खाली थे अब न हो हलाकू है और न उसके साथी है जंग जो न कोरस है और न उसके हाथी है कल जो तन के चलते थे अपनी शान शौकत पे शम्मा तक नहीं जलती आज उनकी कुर्बत पर जैसी करनी वैसी भरनी आज किया कल पाए सर को उठाकर चलने वाले एक दिन ठोकर खाएगा चढ़ता सूरज धीरे धीरे ढलता है ढल जाएगा चढ़ता सूरज धीरे धीरे ढलता है ढल जाएगा मुट्ठी बांध के आने वाले हाथ पसारे जाएगा धन दौलत जागीर से तूने क्या पाया क्या पाएगा चढ़ता सूरज धीरे धीरे ढलता है ढल जाएगा चढ़ता सूरज धीरे धीरे ढलता है ढल जाएगा. So how the history has been explained, so in crisp through these stanzas, and And today's verse also speaks how all these kings who actually considered, you know, everything as their own, they ultimately were lost into oblivion. One of the social commentators, you know, he said that all that we see in this world, or all that we hear in the news today, no, is nothing but old things happening to new people. Nothing else. It was some disaster that happened last year. No, some another disaster happens this year. And some another disaster will continue to happen the upcoming next year in 2021. Somebody won the tournament last year, some country won the tournament, a World Cup tournament last year, some another country will win the tournament this year or probably next year. So yesterday some party won some election, now few years down the line some another party will win the election. So so he said that all the news that we hear today is nothing but the old things happening to new people. And this is what we see. Time has been doing the same activity again and again. No? It has been doing the same old activity of destroying since time immemorial, but probably to the new set of people, to new set of things. So, so this is what time has been doing since time immemorial. The time has... again and again shown us its real face. One time Indradhana Swami Maharaj was recalling that he was traveling back to his home. He was born and brought up in San Francisco, and before he came to Krishna consciousness in 1970, he spent a lot of time in San Francisco. But now, after coming to Krishna consciousness, after taking up sannyas order of life, he was again one day traveling to San Francisco. He was in a flight, and now the flight was about to land in San Francisco. And he was recollecting that now, all my parents, they are no more there in this world. My brothers and sisters, they are scattered all over the place. And when he was landing, all those old memories started coming up. Now all those childhood memories started coming up in his mind, and he was very much overwhelmed by those emotions and those sentiments. But then he writes that I actually caught hold of my mind, and I remembered the sentences which were narrated by Srila Prabhupada when he was in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan, he wrote something called as Vrindavan Bhajan in the year 1958. And Prabhupada personally shares his own realization in a poem form, in a poetry form. So Indradhana Swami Maharaj, he caught hold of his mind, and he started recollecting those realizations which were shared by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he writes in this bhajan, Vrindavan bhajan, he writes, where are my affectionate father and mother gone now? And where are all my elders and other relatives who were my own folk? Who will give me news of them now? I ask you, tell me who. All that is left of this so-called family is a list of their names. And then Prabhupada further, it's a long poem, Prabhupada further writes, as the froth upon the sea water arises for a moment and then subsides, the play of Maya's worldly illusion is exactly like that. So Indradhana Maharaj, he recollected this poem, and then he realized that actually, ultimately, all that remains, all that is left, is nothing but the list of names. So Prabhupada also, at many places in Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavatam, he truly very in detail elaborates on this theme of bubbles. No? In this verse of the 8th chapter, 17th, 8th chapter, 17th verse of Bhagavad Gita, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahariyat Brahmano Vidu, Ratrim Yugas Sahasranta Teo Ratra Vidojana, where Lord Krishna explains about the duration of Brahmaji. Prabhupada in the purport makes a profound statement. Prabhupada writes, Brahmaji lives 100 of such years and he dies. These 100 years by earthly calculation totals to 311 trillion and 40 billion earth years. By these calculations, the life of Brahma appears to be fantastic. 311 trillion and 40 billion is something no one would believe. Naturally, anyone would say, wow, this is fantastic. Prabhupada says, it seems to be fantastic and interminable, but from the point of view of eternity, a life of Brahma is as brief as a lightning of a flash. I mean, it's as brief as a lightning flash. So Prabhupada, now he's thinking so big, he's thinking from such a broader perspective. Prabhupada says a life of a Brahma is also a lightning flash. Now Brahmaji's life is so big, so huge. And then Prabhupada makes a brilliant statement. Prabhupada says, in a causal ocean, there are innumerable Brahmas rising and disappearing like bubbles in the Atlantic Ocean. So if Brahmaji's life is like a bubble, then where do we stay? Where do we stand actually? No, where we have a lifespan of just few hundred, or not few hundred, just probably maximum 100 years. And this ultimately reveals our insignificant and infinitesimal lifespan. How insignificant we are from the eternal time perspective. Now from eternity point of view, our 100 years, our 100 years is no more than say a life of an insect which is seen revolving around a street lamp in a night. Now we have seen there are so many insects, millions of insects, which are just moving around that street lamp in the night. Now these insects have a lifespan of not more than a one day. Within that one day of their lifespan, they take birth, they grow, they procreate, they give birth to offsprings, and they maintain themselves for some time, and they dwindle and they die. Now, if we ask these insects, or if we tell these insects that a life of a human being is 100 years, they will think that this is fantastic and this is interminable. Is it not? Because they cannot even think. No matter how much we try to make them understand through logic, through reasoning, through argumentation, they cannot fathom, they cannot comprehend this fact that a life of a human being can be 100 years. And of course, we know that the fact is human beings can live for 100 years in this world. Similarly, the fact is a life of Brahma is 100 years, which is nothing but 311 trillion 40 billion years, which may appear to be fantastic and interminable. So the point is, Prabhupada is saying that even a life of a Brahma is, so many Brahmas appear and disappear like a bubble in Atlantic. So this information, is quite sobering, where this verse also says that ultimately all these kings, they disappeared into oblivion. Today or tomorrow, we all, is destined to get lost. And we don't know where is our next birth or what is our next destination. Even in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that famous words, Deha Patya Kalatradishu Atma Sainyeshu Asachu Api Tesham Pramatto Nidhanam Pashyan Apina Pashyati. Now this verse is very famous. Shukdev Goswami, he is very heavily speaking about those materialists who cannot see their future, or those materialists who are devoid of Atma Tattva. Tesham Pramatto Nidhanam. Based on their experience, they can even see that there are so many of his relatives, friends and elderly people who are dying, but they think that they are actually the soldiers who will help me in my times of crisis. Pashyan api na pashyati, although they are seeing but they are not seeing. Now here in this purport, Prabhupada, now this purport is worth reading, although it's a long purport, but every word makes a very, very, it makes a lot of sense. Prabhupada writes, I have just taken some of the sentences from this purport. It's a long purport. Prabhupada says, this material world is called a world of death. Every living being, beginning from Brahma, whose duration of life is some thousands of millions of years. So beginning from Brahma down to the germ who lives for a few seconds only is struggling for existence. Therefore, this life is a sort of fight with material nature which imposes death upon all, whether we want it or not. And now Prabhupada says, although a human being is sufficiently experienced in the matter by the dint of past experience and previous examples of his diseased predecessors. Our predecessors, they underwent birth, old age, disease. Still, human being does not see that the so-called fighting soldiers like children, relatives, society members and countrymen are all fallible in a great struggle. One should examine the fact that, now this is interesting, Prabhupada says, one should examine the fact that his father or his father's father has already died, and that he himself is therefore also sure to die. And similarly, his children, the upcoming children, and that who are the would-be fathers of their children. So the children will also become father, and those fathers will also die one day in due course. No one will survive in this struggle with material nature. The history of human society definitely proves this beyond doubt. Yet, the foolish people still suggest that in the future they will be able to live perpetually with the help of material science. This poor fund of knowledge exhibited by human society is certainly misleading. And it is all due to ignoring the constitution of the living soul. So just because we have neglected the root cause, we have misidentified ourselves with the body, and we have neglected the soul, that's the reason this entire civilization, empires have built up. And ultimately, they will dissolve. And then Prabhupada writes, the great ocean, Prabhupada considers this material world, compares this material world to a great ocean. Prabhupada says, the great ocean of material nature is tossing with the waves of time, and the so-called living conditions are something like foaming bubbles which appears before us and disappears in oblivion. Prabhupada, in one of his books, Journey of Self-Discovery, Prabhupada writes the same sentence, but this sentence is now heavily loaded, far more heavily loaded. Prabhupada says, everything will be finished in a flash, just like a bubble bursting in the ocean. The thrashing of the waves in the ocean generates millions and billions of bubbles, but the next moment they are all finished. Prabhupada repeats the statement. Prabhupada said, in the next moment they are all finished, and then again Prabhupada writes, they are all finished. So this is the harsh reality of life, whether we believe it or not, whether we accept it or not. No, we all have to go through. In one of the lectures, Radhanath Maharaj beautifully explained the same theme, no, in a very, very practical example, the way we can relate to it. Maharaj was sharing, no, Maharaj was telling that take a glass filled with a fizzy drink. No, fizzy drink means, no, the drink which is bubbling with a lot of foam. There's the effervescence. So you take some soft drinks and you open it, and it creates a lot of bubbles. So Maharaj was giving this example that you take a drink, you take a glass which is filled with a fizzy fizzy drink, and then Maharaj said, what do you see at the surface? All that we see are hundreds and thousands of bubbles, and lot of these bubbles, no, which we see on that fizzy drink, ultimately fizzles out. Fizzles out means they burst in just few seconds. So for those who have not seen the bubbles in the ocean, naturally all the modern people, you know, they have definitely seen the bubbles that come up, you know, on any of the soft drinks. And then Maharaj said, our life is as brief as those bubbles. And then Maharaj quoted this famous bhajan, no, edana yauvana putra parijana iti ki atha paratiti re kamala dala jala jivana talamala bhajahu hari pada niti re. So Maharaj was saying how, no, all our relatives, all our connections in this material world are ultimately like a drop of of water on a very slippery surface of a lotus petal. And then finally, no, Maharaj is telling that all advancement in technology, all the advancement in technology and attempt to prolong our life. So what technology is trying to do, what medical science is trying to do, is trying to prolong our life. We are somehow trying to prolong, somehow trying to stretch our lifespan. So Maharaj was sharing that all that technology is trying to prolong our life in this world is akin. Is akin means it's similar to an attempt to prolong a life of a bubble in the glass of a Sprite. In a glass of a fizzy drink. So all that we are doing is trying to prolong a life of a bubble. In the third canto, 17th chapter, of course, Maharaj further mentioned that we are thinking, when we are bored, no, we want to kill time, but no one can kill time. It is Mr. Time who kills all of us without discrimination. Even in one of the purports in the third canto, where, you know, the description comes about how Hiranyakashipu and Hiranaksha, they actually conquered, you know, all the, you know, planetary systems. There, Prabhupada writes that one may be as strong and as puffed up as Hiranyakashipu. And someone like Hiranyakashipu may bring under his control all the three worlds. But there is no possibility of continuing life eternally or keeping the conquered booty forever. Hiranyaksha, he conquered all the gold from different parts of the world. So Prabhupada is writing, no one can keep that conquered booty forever. And then Prabhupada says, so many emperors have ascended to the power and now they are lost in oblivion. That is the historical fact of this world. So we see this is the power of time factor, and this is ultimately going to be our destination. Dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. One time, Radhanath Maharaj, when he was hitchhiking, in search of God, he and his friend, Radhanath Maharaj was then Richard. So Richard and his friend Gary, they entered into one of the monasteries. And when they entered into this monastery, they saw so many monks there meditating on the bones and the skulls of their predecessors, monks. And we know these stories. So many times Maharaj has quoted this. And these monks, they were meditating, they were closing their eyes and they were meditating on the non-permanent nature of this material world. By looking at these skull, by meditating on this skull. And Richard, he saw that there was a huge pile of skulls and the bones of of these monks who actually once resided in this monastery. And he read this statement there which made a very deep impact in the life of Richard. And this statement, there was a signboard indicating after looking at these skulls and bones. So the sign read, as you are now. So this predecessor's monks are telling to all the visitors, as you are now, we used to be. And as we are, you will be. So as we are now, so they are the predecessors who are in the form of the skulls and bones, they are telling, as we are now, as you are now, we used to be. So we were also once upon a time like you all. But as we are now, in the form of the skulls and bones, you all will be. That is our future. So this created a deep impact in the life of Radhanath Maharaj. Maharaj, when he came to Rishikesh, and we all know this story, how Maharaj, when he was in Rishikesh, he resolved to sit on a stone all day. That stone which was in the middle of the Ganges River, which was flowing. And Maharaj, he resolved to take a vow of silence. And he would not speak all throughout the day for 30 days. So he took a vow of silence for 30 days. And he would every day go and sit on that stone, which was in the middle of the Ganges River. And he would pray right from morning sunrise to sunset. And all that he would eat at the end of the day was one carrot and some Ganges water. Because when he would pass by, he had no money. When he would pass by, there was one old gentleman who would every day see Maharaj sitting on that stone and just praying, not eating anything. So when he would come back, when he would go back to his cave in the evening, this gentleman, out of courtesy, he would just give one carrot. So Maharaj just ate one carrot a day and some Ganges water for 30 days. And at the end of that 1 month, Maharaj in his Radhanath Maharaj in his journey home writes that at the end of 1 month, he was more than ready to break his fast. And someone had donated him 1 rupee, thinking him to be like one of the monks, one of the sadhus. Someone donated him 1 rupee. So Maharaj, with that 1 rupee, he said, okay, I remember that there is one shop near this Chotiwala restaurant in Rishikesh. So Maharaj said, there is one shop where I can get some peanuts, of that 1 rupee. So Maharaj said that I was just so ready to break my fast with those peanuts. So Maharaj went, gave that 1 rupee coin to that shop, vendor. And this person, he filled a bag, filled up a bag with lot of peanuts. And now Maharaj was about to, break his fast. So Maharaj decided, okay, let me go back to my cave and then eat peacefully. So Maharaj, as he was going back, to his cave, he entered into the deeper forest, in order to reach his cave. And all of a sudden, a huge brown colored monkey, stopped Maharaj like a custom agent. And Maharaj was taken aback. He looked at that bag and he understood that this monkey is now here just for these peanuts. And within second, Maharaj beautifully explains, very graphically explains how that monkey actually pounced upon him and he took that bag of peanuts that Maharaj was carrying. Maharaj had not even broken his fast, and now that bag of peanuts was taken away by monkey. Then Maharaj saw that there were few peanuts that were lying down on the ground. So Maharaj thought, probably I will pick up these peanuts and I will break my fast with those peanuts. But then even before Maharaj could even pick up those peanuts, one bigger monkey jumped from the tree and he started picking up those peanuts. He ate those peanuts and then he just disappeared. And Maharaj started smiling. Now imagine what would we do when something like this happens to us. Maharaj said, my stomach was rumbling with hunger. Now even when Maharaj's stomach was so much hungry, Maharaj, he gained another profound realization. When our stomachs, our bellies are empty and we are so hungry, our brain stops functioning. And here is a sadhu who is gaining wonderful realizations even in those situations. And then Maharaj writes, he gained two realizations. The first realization that he gained is, Maharaj writes, compared to the treasure of spiritual experience, worldly acquisitions are like those peanuts. So if we can gain spiritual realization, spiritual experience, that is far more valuable than the worldly acquisitions, which are no more than peanuts. And then Maharaj writes that people spend their lives struggling to earn money, fame and glory. People lie, people cry, people die for few of these peanuts. They fight and struggle for a handful of peanuts. Wars are raged over them, but at any moment of life, a monkey or another's greed, another person's greed, or even the inevitable march of time may plunder from us our cherished peanuts. So we see when the time came for Maharaj to enjoy the fruits of his tapasya, it was, no, eating those peanuts was like enjoying the fruits of the 1 month of tapasya that he did. No. But Maharaj writes that, no, people, they may earn, they may spend their lives earning by doing so much tapasya, and when the time comes to enjoy the fruits of all that hard earned money that they have acquired, probably it's all taken away. The peanuts are taken away, just as the monkey took away those peanuts. And then Maharaj beautifully mentions that, yes, in the course of acquiring money, fame and glory, there are many who may become rich, while others, they languish in poverty. Basically, they feed on poverty. So, some may become rich, some may become poor, some may continue to remain poor their whole lives. But both meet the same fate. Both have their same destination. It is just like, in a game of chess, or after the game of chess is over, the king and the pawn lie in the same box. Now, who is a pawn? Pawn is one of the weakest player in a chess game. So, whether it's a king or whether it's the pawn, ultimately they both lie in the same box at the end of the game. Yena chaiva vipannoyam praner priyatamer api jano sadyo viyujyeta kim utanyer dhanadibi. This is what Bhagavatam also explains. Bhagavatam again and again comes up with this theme of how time factor is so powerful that no one can stand. So this verse, right in the first canto, yena chaiva vipannoyam praner priyatamer api, vyakti ko sabse priya kya hai? Harrek vyakti ko sabse priya kya hai? What is so dear to anyone and everyone? One's life. So one's life is more dear to anyone and everyone. So Bhagavatam says that yena chaiva vipannoyam praner priyatamerapi. Even that which is dearmost to everyone is being snatched away by time factor. What to speak of kim utanier dhanerapi? What to speak of wealth, position, possession, property and all that stuff? That which is so dearmost is snatched away. All this is bound to be taken away. Ashanam me vashanam me jaya me bandhu vargo me iti me me kurvanam kalvriko hanti purushajam. This is a Subhashit which says, ashanam me vashanam me, people in this world, they say, this food is mine, or this vashanam, this clothing is mine, or this wife is mine, this children are mine. Jaya me bandhu vargo me, these relatives are mine. They keep telling me, mine. But ultimately, who keeps doing me? Purushajam, a female, I'm sorry, a male goat, bakra, as they say. So the male goat keeps doing me and attracts vrika. Vrika means Shial. Vrika means a wolf. Similarly, a person who is just constantly engaged in doing mine, will eventually be devoured, eventually be consumed by what? Will be eventually consumed by the wolf of time factor. And Bhagavatam again comes up with the same theme. Sarvam kalam kritam manye bhavatam chayad apriyam sapalo yadvashe loko vayor iva ghanavali. Vayor iva ghanavali. This word vayor iva ghanavali again comes in Bhagavatam. So it is repeated twice. Tasye tasya janonunam nayam vedor vikramam kalyamano pi balino vayor iva ghanavali. So vayor iva ghanavali, Bhishmadev is telling that in my opinion, whatever has happened to the Pandavas is all due to the inevitable time factor. And just as clouds are being pulled away, the clouds are being carried away by the wind, everything in this world is carried away by the time factor. Now, this analogy is very interesting because, you know, these clouds, they look like cotton. Now, if you look in the sky, these clouds appear like a cotton. They appear like very, you know, light. No, they appear, you know, to be just moving so normally, but these clouds actually are very heavy. They contain gallons and gallons of water. And although they appear to be light, they appear to be cotton-like, but they are actually they are actually having a lot of content within them. So no matter how these clouds are so heavy, or no matter how much gallons of water these clouds contain, these clouds actually have no power in front of the wind. Similarly, no matter how much heavily, no matter how much heavy the bank balance someone has, how much the treasury house is filled with gallons and gallons, not gallons and gallons, dollars and dollars of treasury worth. But the time factor is so powerful, a person may just not be able to enjoy. I mean, it's just like, recently there was this cyclone, Nisarga, that came. Now, when the cyclone came, you just can't do anything. No, cyclone just comes, doesn't discriminate. No, whether it's a roof of a temple, or a roof of a hut, or some huge apartment. No, it just does its part. That's the power of the wind. No, that's the power of time factor. It doesn't discriminate, and similarly, the clouds moving in the sky are being scattered and snatched away by the power of wind. So this analogy actually teaches us how subtle moves the gross. Subtle moves the gross means clouds are gross, they are visible, they are at least gross entity, but the wind is subtle, cannot be seen. Similarly, in this world, it's the subtle that moves the gross. It's the soul which is subtle, which moves the gross body. Not only that, it's the time factor which is so subtle, which is invisible, which moves everything in this world. So just because something is invisible doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Similarly, The soul, which is subtle, invisible force, because it's invisible, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. So time, we all know how time makes colossal changes, cyclic changes, bodily changes, seasonal changes. And no, time, it actually makes smooth faces shriveled, wrinkled. Time makes physical physics, no, all the physic of the body, no, paraplegic. Even the sharpest of the brains become senile, or it makes an erect person stooped completely. Or no, the greatest of the controllers, they become dung rollers. You know what dung rollers mean? You know, dung rollers are actually, no? Dung roller is an insect, no? Which feeds and survives on dung. Dung means excreta or a fecal matter. So this dung roller, it keeps eating the fecal matter and it keeps growing. So one of the senior disciples of Prabhupada, he was sharing this nice realization that that Lord Krishna, no, is it that Lord Krishna has to relieve the burden of Mother Earth by coming personally into this world, or is it that Lord Krishna has to personally come to relieve the burden, no, of Mother Earth by killing these demons? Lord Krishna doesn't need to come personally into this world, because his energies, his shakti is enough to kill, no, to annihilate the demons. And as Krishna says, Kalosmi Loka Kshayakrit Pravriddho. So how Krishna actually destroys through his, no, destroys everything through his time factor. So this dung roller, so this Prabhupada disciple, very senior disciple, he was giving this an understanding that this dung roller keeps accumulating more and more dung, keeps eating up more and more dung, and it keeps growing in size. And then when it grows in size, it starts thinking that I am great. So there was this one dung roller, no, who kept eating so much, and then finally, no, grew so big that this dung roller started thinking that, no, he's so great. This dung roller saw this elephant passing by. Elephant did not even look at this dung roller. This dung roller saw this elephant passing by, and this dung roller challenged this elephant. Elephant was going ahead. Dung roller saw this elephant and said, "Arey darpok, arey phuski." Now elephant just looked at this dung roller and smiled. No, not smiled, he laughed. And kept walking ahead. But this dung roller was thinking that I am so great. He kept challenging this elephant. Now elephant said, okay, fine. Dung roller started telling, you come and fight with me face to face, hand to hand. Elephant, all that he did, he turned back, came very close to this dung roller, squatted a bit, and passed dung. Now we all know that this dung of an elephant is not just few grams. It could be in kilograms. And when it falls, no, it just fell right on the top of this dung roller. And that was the end. That was the story, ended there. So if elephant has to kill a dung roller, the dung of the elephant is enough to kill the dung roller. Elephant doesn't need to use its tusk, use its trunk, or use even his feet. The dung is enough. Similarly, no, this senior Prabhupada disciple was sharing that Krishna doesn't have to personally use his, doesn't have to personally come into this world to kill, no, or annihilate these demons. Just his energy, Krishna's energy is like that dung, No, which is enough to kill those kings who claim themselves to be controllers. So we, as we said, the controllers become the dung rollers eventually, and the dung roller, will be killed by the energy of the Lord. So Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they accumulated so much of the dung from here and there, and they started claiming themselves to be dung rollers, and they were eventually killed. So just to conclude, this is the power of time, where subtly, very subtly, time causes such major changes. Time is a silent killer. Like a silent killer and a serial killer. Serial killer is someone who is keeps killing people. That's the time factor. And whatever we do, whatever we do in this world, time is going to undo. You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, in due course of time, again your mouth starts stinking. You eat with your belly filled, again after a few hours, you again start feeling hungry. Or you earn money, you lose money. You earn fame, you lose fame. So whatever we do in this world, time undoes. But Radhanath Maharaj was explaining, time can undo everything in this world except two things. I mean, there are two things which will never change in this world. So, so whatever advancement that we make in Krishna consciousness, that will never be lost. So everything that we acquire will be lost eventually, but whatever service, whatever spiritual activity that we do will become our permanent asset. Whether it's simply appreciating another devotee, for whatever they are doing, or whether it's simply making or stringing a flower while making a garland, or simply chanting the holy names, whatever activity that we do will never go in vain. But Maharaj was saying that is the only secure investment. All the investment in the stock market, various financial enterprises, they appear to be secured, but eventually, they will also not help us in our future journey. So there are only two things which are certain in this world. One thing is, anyone who is born is destined to die. Jatasya hi dhruvar mrityu dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. So this is certain. And the second thing that is certain is, any investment that we make in bhakti is never lost. Neha bikramana sosti pratyavayor na vidyate svalpam apiyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. So this is what time cannot touch. Our permanent asset, whatever service we do. So we should grab any opportune moment we get to serve. We should not think, this is just an ordinary act. So one time Maharaj was saying, devotional service should not be a burden. Devotional service is a privilege that we all have received in our life. And this is what time factor teaches us. We all can either burn by the influence of time. Ultimately, we all will be burned. Is it not? Our body has to be burned. So either we get burned in fire, or we can learn from this time factor. What do we learn from this time factor? Now, ultimately, it's very sobering that how everything in this world is temporary. Yes, we all know. But these, when the time factor that we see in and around of us, it should actually provoke us to ask certain existential questions. No, what actually lasts? What really matters? What is life truly meant for? What am I really doing in life? No, for whom am I working so hard when eventually it's going to be taken away from me? Why am I so much caught up within such tiny, trivial, puny issues by taking up such fights and cold wars? These questions, now, if it comes within our mind after hearing from the scriptures, it is worth it. Let me secure my life or my future life by making investment in those things which will have maximum returns in less time. So yes, Kali Yuga is the darkest of the age, but Lord Krishna, who has appeared in this age in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam and in the form of holy name, even in the darkest of the night, Lord Krishna, Bhagavatam is like that sun, and Lord Krishna's holy name is like that full moon which is there to dissipate the darkness. And this is what we are ultimately meant to. After reading so much, or after gathering so much information about time from Bhagavatam and from many other scriptures, this is what we are meant to. We are meant to go closer to Krishna, knowing very well our vulnerable position in this world. Shripad Vallabhacharya, I will end with this beautiful composition. Shripad Vallabhacharya has composed, he composed something called as Shodash Grantha. 16 different granthas. One of the granthas that is composed is called Krishnashraya. You know, where in this beautiful composition called Krishnashraya, you know, taking shelter of Krishna. Every situation in life is prodding him to take shelter of Krishna. And we are discussing this chapter which is entitled Symptoms of Kali Yuga. So in this beautiful composition, he explains the symptoms of Kali Yuga and how he is more and more inspired to take shelter of Krishna. This is what he explains now in this Krishnashraya. So he says, Sarva margeshu nashteshu kalocha khaladharmini pashande prachure loke Krishna eva gatirmama. Sarva margeshu nashteshu kalocha khaladharmini. In Kali Yuga, all the best of the paths through which one can actually practice dharma will be destroyed. But Krishna eva gatir mama, let me go closer and closer to Lord Krishna. And then he says, so first he says, all the paths have been destroyed. The true paths through which we can actually practice dharma have been destroyed. Then he says, mlecha kranteshu dosheshu papeka nilayeshu cha satpida vyagra lokeshu Krishna eva gatir mama. So he says, mlecha kranteshu desheshu, that place, no, which is the best place to practice dharma, that is Bharatvarsha, is being now completely occupied by mlechas. Mlecha akranta desheshu. So the best of the place where one can perform dharma has been now taken over by the mlechas. So the best way I can now turn to Krishna. So he says, Satpida Vyagra Lokeshu, the good are actually suffering and the bad people are enjoying. So he's saying, Krishna Eva Gatir Mama, Krishna is my only refuge. And then he says, even in the land of India, even in Bharatvarsha, the best of the Tirthas, have lost its potency. Gangadi Tirthavaryeshu Dushtareva Vriteshvasa Tirohitartha Deveshu Krishna Eva Gatirmama. So holy places and the holy rivers will be contaminated and become corrupt. Then he says the holy man will become corrupt in this age. Even they will be influenced. So he says, Ahankara Vimudeshu Satsupapa Anuvatmashu Labapujartha Yatneshu Krishna Eva Gatirmama. Even the holy man will be influenced by Ahankara Vimudeshu. They will fall, they will become puffed up. And they will worship gods and demigods just for labha pujartha yatneshu, just for gaining their own name and fame. And then he says, all the processes, all the best of the theories, all the processes to practice dharma, that is gyan, tap, vrata, they all are destroyed. Aparigyana nasteshu mantreshu avrata yogishu tirohitartha deveshu Krishna eva gatirmama. Nanavada vinasteshu sarvakarma vratadishu pashandeika prayatneshu Krishna eva gatirmama. All the best of the theories will be occluded by so many false theories. And because of these false theories, the actual theory will be forgotten. And then he comes up by saying, my dear Lord, your holy name is so powerful. And then he says, Ajamiladi doshanam nashako nubhavestita gyapita khila mahatmya Krishna eva gatir mama. My dear Lord, although the things in this age are degrading, they are deteriorating, but your holy name is the torchlight. Your example of how you delivered Ajamiladi doshanam nashako nubhavestita. Your holy name has the power to destroy all the sinful reactions and the actions. And it has the power to purify even the sinful person. So here he says, my dear Lord, Krishna eva gatir mama, I take shelter of your holy name. And then he says, even the jnanis cannot derive best of the bliss. He says, prakrita sakala deva ganitanandakam brihat purnanando haristasmat Krishna eva gatir mama. My dear Lord, you are only Purna. Even all the demigods, they are Prakrita Sakala Deva. They are actually influenced, they are affected by the three modes of material nature. They cannot give complete bliss. Only you who are Purnananda. Purnanando Haristasmat Krishna Eva Gatir Mama. And then Vallabhacharya, he is humbling himself before Lord Krishna. And then he says, Viveka dhairya bhaktyadi rahitasya visheshata papa saktasya dinasya Krishna eva gatir mama. He's saying, Vivek, I am completely bereft of viveka dhairya and bhakti. I do not have vivek, that is discriminatory power, patience and bhakti. Papa saktasya dinasya. My dear Lord, you are so merciful that even those who are attached to sinful activities, even they can be delivered. And then finally he's saying that sarva samarthya sahita sarva traikha sarva traiva akhilartha krit sharanastha samur dharam Krishna eva gatir mama. Where he says, O my Lord, O Krishna, who is all powerful, who is all present and bestower of all benedictions, he is the savior of those who seek protection. Krishna shrayam idam స్తోత్రం యపఠేత్ కృష్ణ సన్నిధో తస్యాశ్రయో భవేత్ కృష్ణ ఇతి శ్రీ వల్లభో వల్లభో బ్రవీత్. కృష్ణాశ్రయం ఇదం స్తోత్రం. వన్ హూ టేక్స్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ కృష్ణ నో ఆఫ్ దిస్ స్తోత్రం అండ్ వన్ హూ రెగ్యులర్లీ రిసైడ్స్ దిస్ నో స్తోత్రం ఇన్ ద ప్రెజెన్స్ పఠేత కృష్ణ సన్నిధో ఇన్ ద ప్రెజెన్స్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ శ్రీ కృష్ణ తస్య ఆశ్రయ భవేత్ కృష్ణ. లార్డ్ కృష్ణ విల్ బికమ్ కంప్లీట్ షెల్టర్ ఆర్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ విల్ గివ్ ఆర్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ విల్ ఆఫర్ కంప్లీట్ షెల్టర్ అంటు దాట్ సరెండర్డ్ సోల్. సో దిస్ ఇస్ అవర్ హోప్. వి నో అవర్ ఫైనల్ డెస్టినేషన్ బట్ విత్ దిస్ ఇన్ మైండ్ ఇఫ్ వీ క్యాన్ నో టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద హోలీ నేమ్ టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద భాగవతం దాట్ ఈస్ ద పర్మనెంట్ ఇన్వెస్ట్మెంట్ ఇన్ అవర్ లైఫ్. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'm so sorry to go overboard. Hare Krishna.